Connecting the Dots is Brad Johnson. He's joining us now. He is campaign director for one of our new favorite groups, and that's Forecast the Facts. Brad, you are in Chicago at the gathering of the Diminished Heartland Institute.
I actually am back in San Francisco today. Just visited Chicago for one day and got to
meet...
That
was enough, I bet.
Yes, got to meet some of the luminaries of the climate denial movement who were in Chicago. And it is true, it's a diminished gathering even from what it was last year. Suzanne Goldenberg of The Guardian, who's on the scene, reported that they had, I think, 270 seats set up for their dinner, and there were at least 100 no-shows.
I love it. And thanks in part to your great work.
Definitely make no mistake that this, you know, that the forces behind the Heartland Institute are certainly just as strong as they've ever been.
That is worse than we think as well, the deep-pocketed dark forces that will stop at nothing, it seems. But yes, would you say that this has made a dent in the denial machine?
Absolutely.
With the billboard and the backlash?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think it's been a real privilege to join Forecast the Facts and work on behalf of tens of thousands, and now I think we're nearing over, I'd say, about 200,000 people who have signed petitions and have taken action to call on corporations to stop supporting the Heartland Institute. And I think that's a really important, and it's had really significant impact. The Heartland Institute has lost nearly $1 million of corporate funding. And also, just one of the most amazing things about this campaign is we've been telling corporations, the Heartland Institute, their extreme positions are in opposition to your public stated positions of concern about climate change and, you know, in corporate responsibility. And in response, the Heartland Institute has made more and more demonstrations of how extreme they are. And like the best and latest example was the billboards that feature the Yuma bomber. But, you know, at the conference yesterday, their featured guest was throwing off birther jokes about President Obama. And you had, you know, politicians like Jim Sensenbrenner saying that, you know, CO2 being a pollutant is a conspiracy. It's propaganda. And so it's really unending. There's no possible way for the Heartland Institute to moderate what they do. They are at the core of what, you know, is politely called climate skepticism is simply an ideological belief that science itself is a conspiracy.
DR?
Unbelievable. Brad, I've asked this question of a number of people, and I often get different answers, so I'm going to pose this question to you. Why do you think that these organizations, not only Heartland, but also ALEC, ALEC getting involved in climate denial and Stand Your Ground and what have you, why is it that none of these groups seem to have what you could call a standards and practices division or a quality control division to stop stupid ideas like those billboards from seeing the light of day? How exactly does that sort of thing become a reality? Isn't there anybody at these organizations to say, no, that's a bad idea? Don't you find that kind of strange that there's no sort of, you know, committee to stop this sort of thing from being brought to light?
I mean, and this is just my pet theory, but I mean, I would say that doing stupid, outrageous things is actually essentially their mission. The reason that corporations support organizations like this is because they do the extreme work that corporations can't afford to be seen doing under their own name. And so when the Heartland Institute claims that cigarette smoking isn't dangerous, or that global warming isn't dangerous, or that the ozone hole isn't dangerous, or that DDT isn't dangerous, or any of these things, or that the Food and Drug Administration should be abolished, then a corporation lobbying in D.C., they're the moderates. And so the outrageousness of what ALEC does, of what Heartland does, is part and parcel of, like, that is actually why they're supported. And you know, I mean, it's not something that's morally defensible, but it makes a certain kind of cold logic from a profitability standpoint.
Now, Sensenbrenner is a fool. Lord Christopher Monckton is a troll. Is that the quote I saw?
Yeah, that's. I mean, it might not be the nicest way of looking at things, but it's. They certainly are. The outrageousness of what people like Jim Sensenbrenner and Chris Monckton, the outrageousness of their remarks plays a youthful role for corporate polluters.
Lord of the Flies, maybe. I don't know his whole story, but we'll get into that another time, who his constituency is. But I want to ask you about the weather reports. I have to switch gears just for a couple minutes. I watch the Today Show every morning. That's sort of my litmus test of what mainstream media is covering. Can't handle watching any of the news in the evening anymore. They did not one, not two, but three stories in which they, of course, left out the C word, or the double C word, climate change. Those stories in particular were record rainfall in Florida. Have not seen this much rain and flooding, I believe they said, since 1901. I was making my green tea and then just stopped in my tracks, and I think that I heard that correctly. Haven't had time to double check that, but I believe it. We've seen all these record weather events. And then about a half hour later, so unrelated to that, they did a story about the rise in mosquitoes everywhere and how people are complaining that they're getting bitten and their kids are under attack and they're having to, you know, sleep with screens around their beds. And what's, you know, what are local officials going to do about that? That wasn't just in Florida. And then last but not least, again, in a separate story, they had Dr. Oz come on and talk about how the pollen season is worse than ever. And yes, doesn't it seem that we're hearing that the allergy season is worse than ever every year? And not one person, not the anchor, Matt Lauer, nor Dr. Oz made any connection to the underlying causes of changing climate.
Yep.
Or climate change at all, or anything about that.
Just a standalone
phenomenon, you know.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're absolutely right. It's one of those funny things. People constantly worry that no one is ever talking about climate change, or like the media never talks about climate change. But you know, you turn on the the TV news channels during the day, and it's about half extreme weather all the time. I mean, so the story, like, climate change is one of the fundamental stories of today, and it's going to be the fundamental underlying reality of our, you know, our foreseeable future for basically the rest of our natural lives. And it is absolutely true that it is practically impossible to take any concerted, rational, you know, intelligent, safe, reasonable action until the media and our leaders start connecting the dots. This isn't just something that, like, parents have a responsibility to teach their children these things, but you're absolutely right. That's one of the reasons that Forecast the Facts has a petition to the Discovery Channel, because they ran this really beautiful series, Frozen Planet, about the Arctic and Antarctica, and they spent a whole episode talking about the types of extreme changes that, you know, just as you have these extreme rainfall in Florida and, you know, like some of the earliest hurricanes ever seen, you know, the earliest tropical storm ever, and in the Arctic and Antarctic, the changes are even more radical. But they refuse to mention that global warming is, we know why it's caused by. They refuse to mention that it's caused by the burning of fossil fuels. And that was a deliberate choice because they didn't want to upset people.
They know that
conservatives are upset by the idea that burning fossil fuels is putting our planet in danger.
People who are concerned about, you know, what people are going to think, or upsetting people or offending people, you want to see offensive. Look at Joplin, Missouri, where, of course, President Obama was just, you know, visiting for the memorial. We don't know for sure, but if these incredibly devastating, increasingly damaging, deadly tornadoes and twisters are somehow connected to climate change, and no one is making those connections, all these poor people who lose their lives and their livelihoods, they probably, perhaps themselves, don't believe in climate change. And if no one is connecting those dots on any kind of national level, in government, in politics, in media, then we're going to continue to see this huge disconnect.
Well, and it's really important to understand, like, when you're talking about tornadoes and extreme weather, is that we have altered our entire climate system. There is no weather that is not somehow influenced by carbon pollution. But really, I think the most important thing to understand is not this kind of scientific question of cause, but really the question of, well, what do you do? And the most important lesson of Joplin is that our system of just responding to extreme weather, protecting our citizens against weather disasters, is not sufficient. We are not safe from extreme weather now. And we know that extreme weather is going to change and it's going to get worse. We not only are we not taking action to make our current system, like, safer, because of the conservative opposition to all government spending and to anything that resembles climate science, anything that has the word climate in it, we are actually dismantling our system that provide safety against extreme weather and against climate disasters.
And instead of, you know, putting resources into fighting climate change and doing what we can to reduce our CO2 output, you know, as citizens, as communities, right, as a country, we're, you know, wasting precious time. And DR, I know you want to weigh in, but I have one more question, and that's about the war on wind. But go ahead, DR, because I know you have to step off in a few minutes.
The war on wind. Brad, I don't know if you had a chance to see the M. Sanjayan segment on CBS Evening News last weekend, noting that this is a sink or swim moment in terms of the need to reduce carbon emissions. I was impressed by the quality of the segment, but also because it aired again over the weekend and not on a weekday. Does this not highlight the, unfortunately, the negligence of much of our media in terms of making these connections? M. Sanjayan made the connections, but everybody needs to do that every single day. It needs to be a consistent and current theme in the mainstream press.
Including on current TV.
That's something that I would rather be a glass half full guy and really celebrate the fact, because it is the pressures against people in corporate media to talk frankly about climate change. I mean, for example, Comcast, their top lobbyist is on the board of the Heartland Institute.
Oh,
and
great.
You know, they own NBC Universal. So, like, the pressure against journalists who are working for these major media institutions against them doing the right thing is really intense. And so whenever there's a segment on the nightly news that, like, highlights and just talks frankly and, like, does investigative work on this, I really think that, you know, the best response is really for people to celebrate that. And that makes a difference. Like, these, like, you know, TV stations, and when they hear positive feedback from people saying, like, this was an amazing segment, I want to learn more about this, thank goodness that your station is covering climate change, that actually makes a significant difference. So, you know, especially because you know that, you know, the right wingers, they'll see these things and they'll, you know, they generate the phone calls and, you know, the nasty emails. And so it's really important for people to understand that they're not alone and that their voice matters.
Absolutely. And we just have to close with you giving a few thoughts on just the war on renewable energy that, of course, is funded and planned in part by, well, in large part by the Koch brothers, the Heartland Institute, the usual suspects.
Yep.
And, of course, all with a political motive just to unseat President Obama. You know, the planet, future generations, everyone else be damned.
Yeah, and I think that people underestimate, like, people see this as a political attack against the president, but I think they underestimate how seriously companies like Koch Industry take the climate fate. They understand that civilization is having to make a really fundamental choice about whether we continue to use fossil fuels or not. And that is, it is a fundamental threat to their, you know, not just, this isn't just a short-term political fight, but it's a fundamental long-term threat to their business. And so that's why they're, you know, of all the attacks that they're choosing to make against, you know, the president's policies, it's solar energy, it's wind energy, it's things like high-speed rail. Like, they see that this is a policy fight that really matters. And I think that's one of the really important lessons that people should recognize, is that, you know, investment in renewable energy, this isn't just a political fight. This is a real fundamental fight about the future of our nation.
And the planet, and generations to come, who have the birthright of a stable climate, plentiful clean food and water and air as we did. And this is just some of the fallout of the extremism we're seeing, and the buying of, you know, the nation's policies. It's outrageous. And I'll close on this note. I grew up here in the Bay Area, and I've never seen such a warm April or May. I've never seen the wind gusting quite as strongly, speaking of war on wind. And, you know, for those of us who really are connecting the dots, it's a really scary time, and it's the most outrageous time, because we're wasting such, you know, precious resources, time, energy. And so this show is connecting the dots, and I have been for 15 years, and DR has been helping me for the last 15 months, but we need to get, you know, more of these voices out there on the mainstream platforms, or, you know, fire the meteorologists who won't connect the dots, right?
Absolutely, and people can go to Forecast the Facts and sign our petition to get TV weathermen to tell the truth about climate change.
Weathermen and weatherwomen. Thank you so much for your great work, Brad Johnson, and your colleague Daniel Suwine at Forecast the Facts. A really important mission you have, and we're happy to promote you. And, of course, your cause is our cause, and it's the cause of everyone. We just need to let people know that. Thanks so much for joining us. When we come back, we're going to find out about another important campaign. This one is from Greenpeace.